Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And it's John Cook here with you on the programme this morning. It's 51551 for your text. Now, the weather has improved this week. I think it might be changing for the weekend, but we won't say too much more about that. And hopefully we'll be spending a lot more time outside. I'm hoping that even a glitch in rain over the weekend, we'll get back to some good summer holiday weather. With that in mind, we wanted to take a look at some basic first aid that might help you with the stings and scrapes that happen more often during the summer months. And with me in studio is Siobhan Butler, a former nurse and founder of First Aid for Everyone. Good morning, Siobhan.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks very much for coming in as well. Yes. And you're enjoying the sun the last few days?
Love the sun. Out in it all the time. Love it.
And we want to be out in it. And we want the kids out in it and enjoying it. But it may be a time where you get certain stings or scrapes. We might talk about the wasps and the bees first of all. I'd say you're a good person to spot the difference, are you?
Well, they're the bane of everyone's life, there's no doubt about it. But so the difference between a bee sting and a wasp sting, wasps are quite sly creatures and they tend to get in under the clothing and they keep the stinger with them and they kind of think, well, I'm here now, I may as well make a couple of pinpricks. They're very, very painful. So that's why they used to always say when we were young, watch a dying wasp, because the stinger is there and they are quite dangerous.
The last sting of a dying wasp.
Yes, exactly.
That
yeah. yeah, that's it. So I suppose the first aid treatment for the wasp,
what do you
is,
do?
It's very, very painful. And ice packs are brilliant. They reduce inflammation and therefore help with the pain. It's always a good idea to put a little biro mark around so that you can see if the redness is starting to swell. Now, with all of the stingers, you're looking out for any sort of allergic reaction. So they might get tingling, swollen lips, swollen airway, difficulty breathing. You'll always phone emergency services for those kinds of situations.
This will be a worst case scenario.
Absolute worst case scenario.
Small numbers, extreme
situations. Very, very. Also, it's a good idea in terms of if you do come across somebody with any of those stingers, particularly wasps and bees, to ask them, do they have a previous allergy? Because they might, and they might have an EpiPen with them. But that's rare, as you said. Yeah.
Does the sting stay in? I have memories of my mother trying to squeeze a sting out of my arm and it was sorer than the sting, I think, actually.
Not with the wasps. They take them with them. So the bees, on the other hand, they leave the stingers and that's how you can tell the difference. So the bee stings have a tiny little stinger and on the top of that stinger is a little bulb that contains the venom. And it's very tempting if you come across somebody that has a bee sting to see the stinger and think, oh gosh, I'll take that out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when you squeeze the bulb, you're injecting the venom in.
You could make it worse.
Make it worse. So what we want to do is you'll see it. They're quite small. You use your nail or you use a credit card to scrape it from the injection point. And again, put your biro mark around. Ice packs, great. And if you're out in the park, bring those ice packs with you. They're great.
My mother always put vinegar, I think, on it as well. Is that what you do or what do you use on these?
They say vinegar. So V for the shape of like V and wasp, same V in them. Vinegar is acid for the alkaline in the wasp. And then soda bicarb for the bee sting. But we don't always have these out and about, but that neutralises the stingers.
And what would you recommend then? Because people will probably have a lot of other creams or ointments as well, maybe.
Well, the four things, if you're going on, and you can't go out with a suitcase full of first aid stuff, let's be realistic. but the four good things...
And you can't bring it through the airports, we've been hearing with the scanners as well.
No, gosh, that's another thing. So an ice pack, you can't go wrong, the instant ice packs.
Right.
Pain relief.
Or something cold, I suppose.
Cold.
We often get a quick ice lolly or something to put on my children's arms. Yeah,
using your imagination, that's great. Or somebody might be having a picnic and cooling their Prosecco, you could use one of those ice things. But the four go-tos I think are great is your ice pack, your Calpol Nurofen, your antihistamine and your hydrocortisone, all over the counter medications, and they'll help you when you're out and about.
Now most of them should go away in a short enough space of time, or do you need to watch for that? Is there something you might need to use afterwards?
Well, I suppose it's the red circle. I worked in an emergency room for years and that red circle, when people are concerned or it's spreading or it's going up the arm, there could be an allergy. Always check it out if you're anyway concerned.
Right.
Yeah.
And people might be worried, particularly when they have a small child or a baby or something like that, when they see bees.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw a swarm of them a couple of days ago just walking around these very studios and a number of people ran while I just kept walking. And it was only afterwards I realised maybe I should have been more alarmed.
Yeah.
Don't want to alarm people too much, but they might be worried if they have a small child or someone vulnerable.
No, and that's exactly it, John. And you did the right thing there. We can aggravate them by... they get frightened. Now, I don't know if anyone's going to sit there while there's a bee lodged on your arm either, but they can get into a bit of a frenzy. But I suppose it's just to be aware. You can't stay in the summer either, so it's just to be aware of them, that's all.
Right, and it's a normal thing. It's part of life, I suppose. It's 51551 if you've got texts or questions for Siobhan. I want to talk to you about weaverfish.
Mm.
This is something people might not be familiar with. I've actually gone out with a few swimming groups, who some of these hardy swimmers who go out in all kinds of weather. They often mention this is one of the risks for them, because while people might be more worried about the jellyfish you can see, this weaverfish is pretty small.
Yes, exactly. They can grow to 15 centimetres long. They're quite ugly looking fish, actually. They don't have a swim bladder, so they therefore, like other fish where there's buoyancy, they tend to kind of sink into the sand, and they are the colour of the sand, so we don't see them. And they're very much on the surface. The problem about that is they have dorsal fins that inject the venom. And this is their protective measure from threats, mainly us walking on them. So the dorsal fin pipes up and the venom is shot into usually the sole of the foot.
Right.
And as, I've interviewed loads of people. We have an Instagram page, and many people describe it to childbirth.
That bad. As if I'd know, says you.
I was going to say,
anyway,
John, you might be able to comment on that particular one. It's excruciatingly painful. It reaches its kind of peak, anything from 30 minutes to 2 hours. So just a little tip, it's in its highest kind of, they're out more in August, more people maybe are out, the weather is fine. Look for a lifeguard on the beach.
They're kind of under the sand.
You'll
know all about it,
you'll know all about it, you're going to
say to me. And I've seen the lifeguards at my local beach in Lahinch, where they'd be people usually with their feet in a basin of hot water. Is that the treatment?
So the lifeguards will have a little kind of access to the hot water, a little gas ring, and you need to immerse your foot in the highest, hottest water you can tolerate. Now, you need to have a little look and see if any of the little injection things are in, and you need to use a tweezer to remove all of them. Pain relief. And this can have side effects up to 48 hours, up to a week later. Again, if you're anyway concerned, any additional pain, anything that doesn't seem right, you need to go for medical attention. But the hot water and the pain relief is the treatment for them.
And what about the jellyfish that I mentioned? My children seem to be fascinated and frightened by these in equal measure. Yeah. Should you be worried?
I suppose we don't have the more dangerous types here that you would. I wouldn't be standing on one just to test how bad they are either.
I never have.
Actually, I was just talking to my husband this morning. He got stung by a jellyfish on our honeymoon, and I didn't know what it was. And he described it to somebody coming along with a whip and whipping him, because the tentacles come out and they release the venom. But the really big thing that we need to know about a jellyfish is you use seawater to irrigate, not fresh water. That can cause more of the venom to fire. So the seawater, so get them out of the water, get a basin, make sure there's no more jellyfish in it, and just continue to irrigate, and use tweezers to pluck any of the tentacles off if they remain on the body.
Right. I hope your husband has better memories of the honeymoon.
I was a disaster. I said, I stopped moaning, really. I didn't know what it was. But anyway, that's another story.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
The honeymoon was over then.
That's it.
A listener says, John, you won't be getting any stings in Kerry over the weekend. It's like October with the weather here this morning. Rain, dark and miserable. I'm sorry to hear that.
Come to Dublin.
Coming to the east myself, I noticed how warm and sunny it was. Yeah. But maybe it's all about to change, I think, for us this weekend. It's 51551 for your texts. Nettle stings.
Yeah.
And I heard an item on the radio on Drive Time earlier this week where they were talking about a study comparing the nettle sting dock leaves to lettuce leaves, and whether I think they were just trying to work out, does the dock leaf actually work? Because it's what we all go looking for.
Yeah, there's no symbiotic effect to them. They just happen to be beside nettles, and there is no actually science behind the dock leaf. But people use them and it works for them. So if it's all a pseudo, well, that's fine. The thing about the nettles is they have little stingers that are very, very painful. I think there's nobody in this country that has never been stung by one. If you're able to leave them for the 10 minutes, that's great, because they dry off. Another good remedy is get a dock leave. If you're dealing with the child and it's so painful, scrunch it all up and spit on it. Good old saliva that everyone has can neutralise the stinger. And if you can leave it for the 10 minutes, you can kind of rub it. There's no rubbing it off. Sorry, it's just kind of irrigating. You can use sellotape, because if the stingers are left, the sellotape, and you stick it on, can remove the little fibres that way then.
Some people spit on the dock leaf, I'm told.
Yes. Spit is the great. Saliva is a very neutral thing. We all carry it with us. Anyone's saliva will work.
And they used to say that thing, was it dock leaf dock leaf in and out, rub the sting of the nettle out. Did you ever hear that one?
I didn't, John.
More rubbish from my childhood
Siobhan. You're going
Piece of information
have. I'll take it on board.
For nothing.
Can I just say about the jellyfish thing? Because, you know, we do the first aid courses and one of the big questions is, should I do my weebies on it? And there's absolutely no science at all behind...
Because they've seen that episode of Friends where somebody pees on Monica, isn't that it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there's no science...
Is what you're saying.
Just to say, if anyone's ever done it on you, I'd actually question what that was all about in terms of jellyfish.
Right, well, we leave that to people's imagination. Yeah. Does a bee or wasp die after they leave the sting, Siobhan?
They do, yeah. But the wasp definitely does. I'm not sure about the bee, but yes, they do.
Okay, you want to move them on anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Don't hang around with them too long. And very, very briefly, hogweed kind of burns.
Yeah. Hogweed is a very innocuous type of plant and it's all along coastal areas. And the sap from the hogweed causes absolutely horrendous burns. And what you need to be very mindful is when that comes into contact with sunlight, that's where you get the bad burn. So you can end up rubbing your eyes with it. You definitely need to get medical care for any sort of burns in the eyes.
And if any of them persist, as you said, Siobhan, sound advice to look for medical care if these things are prolonged or more serious. Thank you to Siobhan Butler, former nurse and founder with First Aid for Everyone. Off you go and enjoy the sun as
well. Thank you very much.
And thanks very much for joining us, Siobhan. You're listening to John Cook here on the programme this morning. There's lots more to come.